Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please would you teach us from your word. Help us to know what you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you turn back to that to Luke chapter 1, let me ask you a question. The question is this. What are you scared of? What are you scared of? Anyone scared of anything here? What do you fear the most? Rachel's scared of spiders. Anyone scared of spiders? Yes, Tyler, what are you scared of? Snakes, yeah, I can understand why. Lisa? Bears. Have you ever come face to face with a bear? That's a good thing because you're scared of them. Maybe some of us are scared of the dark. Anyone scared of the dark? Yeah, Grace, I used to be scared of the dark. I used to be scared of heights as well. Anyone else scared of heights? Yeah. It's not the heights so much. It's just being up on top of the heights, isn't it, really? That's the scary thing. Those are kind of the common fears. There's some less common fears as well. If you were to go on the internet, you'd be able to find all sorts of fears. Did you know, for example, that it is possible to have a fear of cheese? True story, it's possible to be scared of cheese. I think, if anything, I've got the opposite problem. It's possible also to have a fear of falling asleep. That'd be a really terrible one, wouldn't it? Every night, a fear of falling asleep. You can be scared of anything that is the colour yellow. A fear of the colour yellow. Imagine if you had that and you were scared of cheese. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? And this would be a particularly bad time of year for you if you had Christugenia tichophobia. Anyone know what Christugenia tichophobia is?
A
fear of Christmas. You can be scared of Christmas time, apparently. Now, perhaps some of those things are slightly amusing. They're slightly kind of odd fears to have. But actually, being scared, being truly afraid, is a really serious thing. When we have genuine fear, it's like a metal cage that grips us. It takes us captive. It stops us moving sometimes. I'm sure we've all experienced that kind of fear. Maybe you wake up in the night and you hear a noise in your house. And you know that thing where you don't want to get out of bed and you don't even want to turn over your ears. You don't even want to open your eyes sometimes. You just are listening out for the noise in your night and you don't want to move because you're scared. Your heart is racing in your throat. Fear seizes you. It grips you. I'm sure others of us will have known the fear, the gripping fear that comes when you receive bad news. Maybe you receive bad news about your health or about the health of a loved one. And the bad news feels like a punch in the stomach and you feel all twisted up and sick inside. Your mouth goes dry. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to do. The fear has got you seized in this cage of fear. That's what fear does to us. Like a rabbit caught in the headlights, fear freezes us. And it could be a really serious thing. It's a metal cage that takes us captive. And the story of the first Christmas has a whole lot to say about fear. So this Christmas time, I want to give you a reason to fear. I want to give you a reason to be afraid. But then I want to give you the answer to that fear as well. So the first thing, the reason to fear. The reason to fear is God come near. God's presence can be a really scary thing. We read earlier at the beginning of our service, we read about a man called Zechariah. Zechariah, I think, is a good name. My son is called Zachary. I fully approve of the name Zechariah. But Zechariah finds himself in this metal cage of fear. He is gripped by fear. Look at verse 11. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Fear took a hold of him. It seized him. It took him captive. He was in that metal cage. Why was he so scared? He was scared because an angel of the Lord had appeared to him. The angel was there on God's behalf. Angels stand in the presence of God. And so when the angel appears, it was like God had come near. And that's a scary thing. We read two other stories today in our service. They were wonderfully read for us. Thank you to everyone who read those passages today. But did you notice that the same thing happened in both of those other stories? There was a person or a group of people, And an angel appears to them, and every time it leaves them trembling with fear, knees knocking together, terrified. God come near is a scary thing. The reason to fear is God's presence. Though it might seem a bit surprising that Zechariah was so scared. After all, it was Zechariah's job to come near to God. That's what he was used to doing. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 tells us that Zechariah served as a priest before God. His office was the temple. The temple was the place where God had chosen to make his home. It's where he lived. And Zechariah's job was to go in right up close to where God was living, just the other side of the curtain. But now, when the angel appears and God comes near, even Zechariah is trembling with fear. And that's because God is like the sun. Are you familiar with the sun, the round circle thing in the sky, yeah? Not very much, perhaps, at this time of year, but we understand the concept of the sun. The sun, here's something new for you to learn today. The sun is very hot. Did you know that? The sun is hot. On the surface of the sun, it is thousands and thousands of degrees. At the core of the sun, it is millions of degrees. The sun burns with a heat that's so intense that even though we live 90 million miles away, we can still feel its warmth and enjoy its light. Even if you were to go with an astronaut suit, the best suit that money can buy, the best suit that we can design, and you wanted to get close to the sun, do you know how far away you'd have to stay? 3 million miles. Any closer than 3 million miles and you will melt and you will die and you will be burned up. You can't come close to the sun. And you can't get too near to God. God is perfect. He is pure. We are not. I think we all know that. And the Bible says that means that we can't come too close to God. It means there is a distance in our relationship with him. The wrong things that we have said, the wrong things that we've done, the wrong things that we've thought, they are offensive in God's sight. God is pure. He cannot stand anything that's impure in his presence. God is perfect. He cannot tolerate anything imperfect anywhere near him. We can't come close to God. An impure person like me, trying to approach the God of the universe, is like an astronaut flying too close to the sun. We're burned up. And that is why Zechariah finds himself gripped in this cage of fear. Because he knew that you cannot come near God and survive. The guy who wrote this part of the Bible was a man called Luke. It's another good name. And he tells us in verse 6 that Zechariah is righteous in the sight of God. And he observes all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Zechariah looked like a really nice guy. He did all of the right stuff. He said all of the right things. He was about as good as they come. But he wasn't perfect. And not perfect is not good enough. So when God makes his presence known, when God sends this angel on his behalf, well, it locks Zechariah in this cage of fear. The reason to fear is God come near. It's much worse than being scared of spiders. This is the human problem. We are made to enjoy God, but we can't get anywhere near him. And so I hope you're scared this morning. I hope this terrifies you. Because actually the same is true for us today. The wrong things that we have done and said and thought, they put a distance in our relationship with the God who made us. And if the prospect of coming face to face with God doesn't terrify you and fill you with fear, then you haven't really understood what he's like. Perhaps people would describe you how Zechariah is described. Someone who's a pretty good person, who hasn't done anything particularly wrong. Perhaps you try and do right by people. You're nice, you're generous, you're kind. You do good to those who do good to you, and even to some who don't. So was Zechariah. But he was terrified. You see, the question for us this morning is not, are you better than the people around you? The question is, are you perfect? And if you're not, then it's not good enough. If you're not perfect, then you're flying too close to the sun. And maybe some of us think, well, okay, see your point. But that's not particularly a big deal for me because I haven't got too much of an interest of getting close to God. I don't really want to come near to him anyway. You know, I don't mind coming to a carol service like this. That's a Christmassy thing to do. But really, it's not for me. It's not really my thing. Well, if that's you this morning, then I need to warn you that one day, whether you like it or not, you will be face to face with God. And by then it will be too late. If you are not ready, then like that astronaut, you'll be burned up. Think, wow, okay, this has gone from like, you know, singing nice Christmas songs to being a bit intense. But I'm not making it up. I'm not just trying to fear-monger. I'm not making this up to have some sort of emotional response from you. This is actually what the Bible says is true. This is what God says is going to happen. The Christmas really does give us a reason to fear. God come near is a scary thing. It's something that seizes us in this cage of fear, something that we need freedom from. And so the good news is that it isn't the end of the story, because there is an answer to fear. The reason to fear is God come near, and the answer to fear is God come near. It might seem a bit odd that the answer is the same thing as the reason to fear. But this is the wonder of Christmas. At Christmas, we remember that God came near in a very special way. So here's Zechariah. He's trembling, his knees are knocking together. He's locked in this cage of fear because God has come near. But look at what happens in verse 13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." What a relief that is. There is an answer to fear. The angel had good news that the children sang about. Zechariah and his wife were unable to have children, but that was about to change. She was about to get pregnant, and she would give birth to a signpost. Not literally. That would be very odd indeed if she had literally given birth to a metal signpost. I'm not sure how that would work anatomically. But that's not what happened. The child that was born was to be a signpost. That was the job that John had to do. Here's something else for us to learn this morning. A signpost points to things. There you go. A signpost points to things. You all knew that already. But that's the job of a signpost. So perhaps you're going somewhere. You're going out for a day out to a theme park or to a zoo or to some gardens or to some other attraction that you particularly want to go to, and you're driving there in the car. Perhaps some of your kids are getting a bit antsy in the back seat, and you're starting to say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Of course, you never speak like that. You're very polite people. "Are we there yet, Mummy?" That's what you probably say. You're looking out for the time when you're going to come close to the thing that you're looking forward to, and then finally you see that brown sign with an arrow pointing to the attraction that you're heading towards, and that's a really exciting thing. Why? It's not that there's anything special about the signpost, the bit of metal. It's all about what the signpost is pointing to. And Zechariah's son, who was called John, the exciting thing about John was not necessarily him, but who he was going to point to. See, John was a signpost pointing to someone really, really special. His job is summed up at the end of verse 17. See that last phrase at the end of 17? He says his job is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's God. This is why the angel had such good news. This is why Zechariah didn't need to be afraid. Because after John came Jesus. John was a stepping stone along the way to God coming near. John was a signpost pointing towards the one who would chase fear away. 9 months later, John was born. just as God had promised. And Zechariah's response is really interesting. So can you flick over one page with me? One page forward. John has just been born, and look at verse 67. This is how Zechariah, his dad, responds. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people. Do you see how that changes? Do you see how everything has changed? The first time round, God come near, seized him with fear. And this time round, it makes him want to sing and dance and jump around. It's an amazing transformation. The man that John's signpost points towards is Jesus. Jesus is fully God. He has that same absolute purity and perfection. He blazes like the sun. Anything impure that comes too close is burned up. Yet on that first Christmas, Jesus took on a human body so that he could come near without burning us up. We're going to sing a line in the last carol that we sing today, which talks about Jesus being God veiled in flesh. God become one of us. God with us. God come near. And Zechariah says, praise to the Lord because he has come to his people. You see, God come near is not just a reason to fear, it's the answer to fear. Why? Because of what this God would do. Look at verse 68 again. He says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. To redeem someone means paying the price that sets them free. It's like paying the ransom for a hostage or buying the freedom for a slave. And this is the good news of Christmas. God draws near to set us free from that cage of fear. He has come to his people and redeemed them, set them free. You see, the Jesus that is born as a baby in the manger that the kids were singing about, the Jesus that was born that first Christmas isn't just a baby. That Jesus grew up and he lived a life as an adult. And as he grew up and as he lived, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't think anything wrong. He was purely pure and perfectly perfect. And so he had a perfect relationship with God his Father. There was no need for any distance. But then Jesus chose to die. He allowed himself to be hung up and nailed on a cross. And it wasn't just about his physical death. There was something else happening. As Jesus suffered and died, he knew for the first time what it was like to be far away from the wonderful presence of God. He was forsaken by God his Father. Why? Because he was suffering in my place. You see, I know that I cannot come near to God. I know that because of the wrong things that I've done and said and thought, if I came near to God, I deserve to be burned up. But on the cross, Jesus took the burning anger of God on himself. He suffered in my place. He was paying that ultimate price, suffering the punishment of God. And because Jesus has paid the price, that means the ransom has been paid and I am set free. He has redeemed his people. You see, Jesus is the key that unlocks the cage of fear. With Jesus, I am free from the fear that I'll be burned up by God. Jesus, God come near, is the answer to fear. And so Zechariah sings, verse 74. The end there, he says, actually, God, you enable me to serve him without fear. Jesus is the one who enables us to serve God without fear. You see, in Jesus, as I come through him, I can approach God, despite all of his purity and perfection, despite all of his burning holiness, I can approach him without being afraid. No longer would Zechariah have to nervously tiptoe into the temple in fear of God's presence. No longer would it feel like he was flying too close to the sun. By trusting in the Lord Jesus, by trusting in the price that he paid, we can enjoy God like we were supposed to. See, this is the good news that we want to share in this church family. If this is your first time with us, we're really grateful that you're here. We're a group of people who have come to realize that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe. There is no better news than that. And you know, when we no longer have to fear God's judgment, do you know what that does to our other fears? It puts our other fears into perspective. If we're scared of spiders, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But actually, there are real fears in life that we face. And they are put into perspective when we don't have to fear judgment from God. With Jesus, you don't need to fear the unknown, because Jesus knows the unknown. With Jesus, you don't even have to fear death, because the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, rose again on the third day. The risen Lord Jesus went up into heaven, and he is alive today to prove that death has no sting. Jesus lives. And everyone who trusts in him, he will give the life, the eternal life that he won for us at the cross. A life without fear. A life near to God. A life in God's presence without fear. I hope you will get fantastic gifts this Christmas time. But you won't get a better one than that. The eternal life that is ours simply by trusting what Jesus has done. The undeserved gift of a life with God. It's a wonderful thing. So I don't know what phobias you have. Perhaps some of you are scared of cheese. If that's you, I really would like to talk to you afterwards, because I feel sorry for you. But whatever you're scared of, whether it be a small thing, whether it be something really hard and difficult, whatever is gripping your heart with fear at the minute, Christmas is really good news. Often the brightest hope has a really dark backdrop. And so we needed to hear the bad news before we could hear the good. I hope you can see that we do have a reason to fear, because if you're not ready to come face to face with God, that's a terrifying thing. But Christmas also points us to the answer to that fear. The cage that grips us doesn't have to. Jesus has paid the price so that we could be free. What does it mean to accept this? How can you know that freedom? Well, becoming a Christian is simply about trusting what Jesus has done. It's not about what we do. It's trusting that Jesus has done that for us. And if this morning you feel your need, you know your need to trust the Lord Jesus for the freedom that only he can bring, then I invite you now, I'm going to pray, and maybe you want to join in your hearts with what I pray now. So let's bow our heads together and let's pray. God in heaven, I admit that I am not perfect, and therefore I don't deserve to be anywhere near you. In fact, I fully deserve your judgment. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came near. Thank you that you paid the price to set me free from fear. Thank you that you paid the punishment I deserve. Please forgive me for the many ways that I fall short of your perfection. Help me now to serve you, and thank you that I can do that without fear. Amen.